Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John this morning, and I trust it's going to be a blessing. I'm going to kind of jump off of where I taught on Wednesday evening for a prayer meeting. I'm not going to belabor the same information, but I want to get to chapter 3 here this morning. Before I start, I want to convey to you what is in my heart this morning. I want you to understand this and understand it as clearly as you can. I am a rich man. I really am. I am rich, and my treasure is my children. My gold is my grandchildren. My wealth is you. It's this church. I thank God for all He has given me and done in my life. Amen. I know I'm not deserving. I count it a grand privilege to preach the Word of God. I am one, it just tickles me. I just can't really comprehend it. I am called of God to stand at the head of one of His local churches, stand in a pulpit, and proclaim the Word of God. I look forward to this. All week long, I look forward to Sunday morning. Man, I look forward to Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it is I get to I look forward to Sunday school, whenever it is I get to share the word of God. I'm a rich man. I want you to know that. Thank you for praying for me this week. I was invited down and kind of treated royally like a VIP, me and a bunch of other preachers, and went to the Trump rally down in Fremont. And it was pretty exciting, and it was shoulder to shoulder, and you didn't see this on the news, but I'll testify to you, there were 18,000 people there. It was pretty exciting, and it was at an airplane hangar, and overspilling outside the airplane hangar, and then out into the parking lot, more outside than inside, and I was within 30 feet of President Trump. We never made eye contact. I tried, man. just didn't happen. Air Force One, very impressive when they landed, and it was just, I just feel like the silent majority is a reality. I do. Very well-behaved group, patriotic songs, to pray with men of God and hear them weep for the soul of America. That's amazing. God, we need to pray for our country. And as impressive as that is, and as impressive as Air Force One is, there's something far bigger than the election coming up before us. There's something far, far, far bigger than America. Far bigger than your health and my health, or your job or my job. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, we were all over it in Sunday school, and I pray that, man, God will continue to work here this morning. But if you'd go to the Gospel of John very quickly, John and chapter 1. Got to be part of Harmony and Josiah's wedding yesterday. It was a wonderful wedding. In spite of the rain, two people got saved during the ceremony at the wedding. How often does that happen at a wedding? I almost said at a funeral. Man, I didn't. Josh actually did the wedding. John actually read scripture. Brother Blount, you read scripture as well. And then I got to preach the gospel. I got to do the best part. And I stood up at the beginning and said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, just to kind of loosen the crowd just a little bit. And they just listened to the word of God. And two people got born again, sit in the boat, three or four rows back, right here, right in front of me. And I do rejoice in that. Okay, that's the introduction. Let's stand together. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, just like Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, was the Word. That Greek word there in the Textus Receptus is logos. That's communicated thought. And we read in verse 14, I'm not going to get that far in chapter 1 here this morning, that the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus. He manifests Himself to this world, communicated thought. And then we have the Word of God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And no matter what any cultist tells you, anytime a Jehovah's Witness comes and tries to spread their blasphemous doctrine, The New World Translation is not a translation of the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word was God, not a God. That is not in the manuscripts. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, verse 10, with great pathos, the Word of God records great sadness that the world rejected Jesus, for the most part. Verse 12, but as many as received him. This is the amen verse, by the way. I'll tell you ahead of time, this is where you need amen, all right? Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. There's great hope. And that hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the lifeline to heaven. He is the bridge for sinners to cross from this sinful, dark world into eternity, into God's heaven. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God. Father, again, we pray your blessing. Lord, I pray as we get to chapter 3 that you just take over in this message. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel. Every born-again believer. Listen to this. You got to hear this. Sometimes I know, sometimes it just kind of goes right over. Sometimes I'm preaching and it goes right over my head. Every real born-again believer is on a mission in this world. And that's to get other people born again. In John in chapter 3, we find the very foundation. Actually, he lays it out here in chapter 1 and chapter 2 as well. It's very clear what is going on as far as the gospel and why Jesus came to this earth. Chapter 1. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. Chapter 2, the first wedding, the first miracle rather, the marriage feast there in Cana, and he turns the water into wine. I'll preach a whole message on that, but it's not the message this morning. I'll prove to you right from that passage, he did not create an intoxicating drink. You are reading into it with your American mind, and you are neglecting all the rest of Scripture if you're using that as an excuse for social drinking. First miracle. Then he cleanses the temple, and then he speaks of the resurrection. He says, verse 18 of chapter 2, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. They didn't understand. Then he speaks of the resurrection. I want you to know, the death on the cross and the shed blood is not enough if he doesn't rise from the dead. And he rose from the dead and was God's amen to Calvary. And we worship a living Savior, ascended on up into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God and is interceding for on our behalf. And one day he is the head of the church, is going to receive instruction from God the Father, go get your church, and the rapture of the church is going to take place. All he's doing, he's just waiting for the nod, and he's going to come very, very soon. Now let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. This is the famous chapter that refers to and answers the greatest question ever asked by man. How can I get to heaven? I got a problem. It's my sin. How can I go to a perfect, holy heaven? How can I do enough good works to get there? And the answer is found in two words in this chapter. Born again. I remember introducing myself, and I introduce myself this way a lot of different times in life, and every opportunity I get to use it, I use it. And they say, I'm so-and-so, and you know, who are you? Well, I'm Pastor Rader. I'm a born-again Baptist preacher. And more than one occasion, I remember a lady telling me, born again? Never heard of that kind before. I said, I don't doubt that. I am a born again Baptist preacher. I am born of the Spirit of God. Let's read together in chapter 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So this man's a rabbi who is a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling 70 over the nation Israel. It's amazing to me, and it's no surprise to me, that God goes right for the jugular vein of Satan with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that this man Nicodemus gets born again. It's this man Nicodemus is mentioned two other times in the Word of God. He was there and he defended Jesus in John in chapter 7. And he was there and anointing the body of Jesus after Jesus died on the cross. So I think this was a rabbi in Jerusalem, a teacher, a ruler in Israel. And he was asking that age-old question, man, how can I go to heaven? Here's a religious leader that is wondering and questioning how he can get to heaven. Now, if lest you are here or watching live stream and you are, name your denomination, and you believe you're going to heaven because some religious leader, you're following them and you think they know that they're going to heaven, I'm telling you, that's not how you get to heaven. That's the blind leading the blind. There isn't a man on earth that's practicing religion that is sure of heaven. I can remember years and years ago, I wasn't even in the ministry yet. I was a high school boy, a teenager, and it just shook me. And I was watching the program 60 Minutes. I think that's on Sunday night, so you know it wasn't in church that night. I was a teenager, right? And I was watching the program 60 Minutes, and they interviewed a whole bunch of monks in a monastery. People that took all kinds of vows of holiness and everything. And to a man, everyone they asked had the same answer. What, do you believe in God? Well, I'm not sure. It was just a whole bunch of nebulous thinking. And I'm thinking, as a teenage boy, I had enough sense to realize this. Boy, I hope people that are trusting in religion are watching this, because there are many people in dark religions and they're following and they're devout in these religions because there's some leader up in front of them, a couple more steps ahead of them in their religious ladder, and they believe in what they're believing because they believe that they believe, they know what they believe, and they don't. They have no idea. It's the blind leading the blind. So here's Nicodemus, a ruler of the Sanhedrin, a ruler in Israel. He comes to Jesus. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know what Nicodemus' big question was? How can I get to heaven? And Jesus recognizes that because he's God. And he said, Nicodemus says, Lord, we know you're a master teacher because you've done all these miracles. And Jesus looks at him eyeball to eyeball, and he says in the verse we just read, verse 3, he answered unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's talking to a religious man, a religious leader, a quote unquote holy man. He has a following, but he has no assurance in his heart that he's going to heaven. And he says, Lord, we know you're a teacher of God. And Jesus just looks at him, cuts right to the quick. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Do you know you're saved? Amen. Do you know you're born again? You've got to know this. Being orthodox alone is not enough. You can know the truth, but if you have never been born into the family of God, you're going to go to hell knowing the truth. I can think of nothing sadder than that. Being orthodox alone is not enough. You've got to know that. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. He says to an orthodox man, a man who is doctrinally straight concerning the Old Testament scriptures and the rabbinical minutiae of the law, Jesus said, except a man be born again. And he's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus knows it. That's why this conversation that we are going to read takes place. There must be a time and a place where you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not like you've got to know the minute. It's not like you even need to know the date, but you remember the event. You remember when it happened. You remember that you got born into the family of God. Just like you're physically born in a county courthouse somewhere, there's a birth certificate that says where you were born and when you were born. The same must be true in God's heaven. where our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is Bible doctrine. There's a time and a place. You don't just grow into heaven. That doesn't happen. You may grow along the path of life and understand a little more and understand a little more, but still, there must be that moment where you're birthed into the family of God. And the breath, the Holy Spirit is the one that does that. And it's not a spooky kind of thing. It's just reality, where it's a heart thing. And you surrender to God, that God conscious moment, and you receive Jesus as your Savior. I'll never forget a mission conference I preached down in Jackson, Michigan. 75-year-old man, I'm not thinking of his name right now. I actually thought he was saved during the preaching. He was sitting towards the front right over here, very well-dressed man. I actually thought he was a deacon. He had a black suit on, you know, he looked good, you know, and very, very dignified looking. And when I gave the altar call that morning, he came forward to get saved, and he went with a personal worker back into a side room, and we're in the foyer after church. There are a lot of people, lots of people still there, everybody milling around and having a good time, and he comes up, and the soul winner, the personal worker, wanted this guy to tell me what had happened to him. And he yelled out at the top of his lungs so much that little old ladies jumped all over the building. He yelled out, "I got it!" I said, "Whoa!" 75 years of age. He said, "Pastor, I've been afraid to go to sleep at night. I knew that if I died, I wasn't sure I was going to go to heaven. I was afraid I was going to go to hell. Now I understand. I got it." That's born again. Amen. It's not a fiery cross in the sky. It's not some brick being thrown from heaven to hit you in the head. It isn't like you got to cry a certain way. That's not it. It's a heart thing. It's in your heart. Will you understand Jesus is the Savior? He's the only Savior. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And if you do that, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It's really that simple. It's a heart thing. Now here's the danger. You could be like Nicodemus. And Orthodox, you know, as far as your brain, you got it all together. You understand who Jesus is. But there's never been a moment in time where you prayed and received Christ as your Savior. Knowing He'd forgive you of all your sins. Letting go of all your own good works and understanding, I need Jesus. That isn't going to get anything done. I need Christ. Let's read on here. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" He's not understanding. And line upon line and precept upon precept, I want you to understand, because some people read these next couple of verses, they think it's talking about baptism. It's not. That's talking about fleshly birth. It was already addressed in chapter 2. Already addressed. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Read verse 4, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily," here's the emphasis, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water." That is born a natural birth. That is the amniotic water, sac of water bursting, and there's a fleshly birth. You need to be born once naturally. You need to be born once supernaturally. You need to be born of the flesh. Don't read, because you see water, you think baptism. That's your American mind. That's not what the Word of God is saying. All right, so you need to be born. You got to be born physically. That's why Nicodemus said, "Well, I enter back into my mom's body. How does this work?" And he explains it. He says, "You've got to be born again." By the way, that word "born again" means born from above. It means born anew. It's not a religious act where you go through several fleshly steps, several steps of the heart. That's not it. The step of the heart is you know you're a sinner, and you know you need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And you pray and you receive Christ. And you're born of the Spirit of God into the family of God. The word baptized, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, immersed by the Holy Spirit into the family of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. That all happens at that moment you're born again. You say, "Well, preacher, what about the baptism part then?" That's after you get saved. You are identifying with Christ. You're saying, "You know that death, burial, and resurrection? I'm in. I'm testifying to you." That's what that is about. Let's read on here. John in chapter 3, a little further. 5 again says, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's a natural birth. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's the second birth. That's being born from above. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, I want to read fast because I want to get down to verse 18. Let me continue to read. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit of God. It happens on the inside. You know what? It's the work of God. It's not a work of the flesh. It's not something you work into. You got to get an emotional, some kind of emotional high. That's not it. You just need to be guilty as a sinner and come to the Savior and drink of the water, and you'll never thirst again. Amen. Eat of the living bread, and you'll never hunger again. Amen. Drink of the springs that never run dry. John chapter 4, same epistle. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye have not, ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man that ascendeth up to heaven, or no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down, or came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He says, I'm God. I know. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Before I read this next verse, it is the mandate of the Church of Jesus Christ to reach this world for Jesus. That's called the Great Commission. If you are not a soul winner, if you are not involved in reaching other people that they might be born again, I'm telling you, you're out of the will of God for your life. If you're not involved, if you're not in the gospel harness, somehow, some way, if it is not your lifeblood reaching this generation of this world that we live in for Jesus Christ, then I'm telling you, as your pastor, you are out of the will of God. Let me ask you this. Who'd you tell about Jesus last week? 7 days, you met all kinds of people. You talked to all kinds of people. You were in all kinds of circumstances. Who did you talk to about Jesus? Are you out of the will of God? That's a very uncomfortable thought. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He says to this ruler of Israel, this rabbi named Nicodemus, he said, listen, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, I don't understand, Jesus. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Verse 16. Verse 15, first of all. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whew, you can take that to the bank. That's the word of God. That's what Jesus is saying. And then verse 16, many of us know this, 25 of the greatest words ever spoken. God breathed some of the grandest words ever spoken. Verse 16, for God so loved the world. I guess so. That's an understatement. That he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loves us. That whosoever, that's you, that's me, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let that sink in. For God so loved the world. God loved you so much, so much. He gave the best that heaven has. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish. All you got to do is believe in him, trust in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, is it that simple? Yes, but it cannot just be dead orthodoxy. You could sign a doctrinal statement and still go to hell. There must be a point in your life where you bow your heart before God and receive him as your Savior. It's like if a plane was a direct flight to, well, I was going to say New York City. Who wants to go to New York City? Forget that. There's a plane leaving directly from Kinross, Chippewa County International Airport, and going directly to Israel. Let's just say it was going directly to Israel. And a ticket has been purchased for you. You could stand over there at the terminal looking through those big glass windows, and you could watch everybody getting on board that plane, and there's a ticket that's already been purchased, and your name is on that ticket, and you watch the doors of the plane close up, and the elevator, the stair move away, the loader move away, and then you see the plane taxi down the runway and then take off and fly into the wild blue yonder and head to Israel, and you never get to Israel that way. Even though there's a ticket purchased for you. You must get on board the plane. You could miss heaven by 18 inches, have it all right here, and never be born into the family of God. Let me read a couple more verses. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You understand? That's why he came. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You must choose Christ. There must be a time. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Last verses I'll read this morning. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. It's forever life or forever damnation. That's why Jesus came. If we could have gotten to heaven by being religious or being a church member or good works, the Savior would not have had to come to this earth. But you misunderstand the whole Bible if that's what you think what it was about. He came to this earth to save sinners. Amen. But many don't understand, and they're going to go to hell. It says, as a matter of fact, in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, Lord, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many will miss heaven and go to the devil's hell. Being orthodox, that's not enough. Going to the right church, not enough. You need to be born again. That's the message Jesus gave to Nicodemus. He came with a troubled heart. He came at night. He said, Master, I know you're from God. Jesus said, hold it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Master, how can I do that? Enter a second time into my mother. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. That's the most important message. And that's what I'm preaching here this morning. If you're watching live stream, you're here in the auditorium somewhere, and you've never been born into the family of God. If you don't have Jesus, you're going to hell. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's what the Bible says. You need to be born into the family of God. I want to help you do that. If you're watching live stream, I want to help you do that. You can do it right now, this morning, in the next several moments, if you'll mean business with God. Except a man be born again, I'm quoting Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Say, preacher, I want to get born again. You're watching live stream, you're here in the auditorium, I invite you to the Savior, and you can take care of it right now, right where you're at. I mean, there's got to be a time and place. Set aside all your religious stuff. In fact, be like Paul and say it's all sewage. It's all manure. Doesn't get me any closer to heaven. I need Jesus. And just pray in your heart. In your heart, be sorry for your sin. In your heart, be sorry that you've disappointed a holy God. In your heart, confess that sin and ask Jesus for forgiveness. Ask him to come into your heart and your life, and he'll do it right now this morning. He's standing at your heart's door, the book of Revelation says, knocking, and he wants to come in. He said, man, you just open the door, I'll come, I'll sup with you, I'll be with you, you'll be born into the family of God. Just pray like this. You can pray it right where you're at. Pray silently, pray it to Jesus. Make these words your words. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I understand you came to this earth and you died on the cross and you shed your blood and you rose again and you're the Savior and you did it for me. We read this morning that God loves me. And Lord, I'm so thankful. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and into my life and be my forever Savior. I'm trusting you alone for heaven and only you. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you prayed that at home, you got to tell somebody about it. You need to get a hold of us here at the church or even somebody near you. Tell them, hey, I just got born again. That's what the Bible says to do.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good news from the Good Book.